Oh, well and good. And the ladies are wondering how many people did he give his coal to you know, while he was setting up those tables. Well, if they got a cold, they deserved it. You should see the way those men ate yesterday. I might mention for the those who went to the meeting that we had both our deacons and just other leaders in the church. All of you tonight, I'd appreciate it if you might share just something that stood out to you from the conference. A couple reasons. I thought it was a tremendous blessing, and I'd like to see the church get the benefit of that. Also, the church paid our way, so we should return that thanksgiving by letting them know that the investment was worth the effort. And so I think tonight for the service, we're going to have more testimonies than usual because I'll have less voice than usual. So I'd really appreciate it if, for that part of the service, if you come prepared just to share something specifically that you gained from the conference. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians, please, this morning. One other thing, I really apologize for standing up here with a croaky voice. You're not supposed to pay attention to the voice or to the guy or to the sickie up front. You're supposed to pay attention to the word. And if I show up and I preach and what you notice is that the guy's sick up there, we haven't done anything for God. So let's really focus our attention on the word today. Satan will use anything, I think, to distract us from what we're supposed to see, including the guy who's preaching. And so today, this is just a wonderful passage of scripture. I want to begin a series on thankfulness. It occurs to me that this is such a fundamental need within the church. We spend one Sunday a year on it, and that's because we have a federal holiday. You know, it doesn't seem to me that the church's calendar and the church's priorities ought to always be set by Thanksgiving was not a regularly celebrated thing among churches, really, until you had it declared a federal holiday. And there's so much that the Bible has to say about it, and it's so key. And it's such a, we'll talk today, it's just, it want to makes you want to cry when you see what goes on in people's lives and how quickly they lose it. In this passage, what we want to begin with today, and it's, again, part of a three-part series, today I want to talk about being grateful for the church. Being grateful for this local church, just as Paul was grateful for one of the local churches in which he ministered in a city called Thessalonica. As we begin, I just want to remind you that when Paul traveled, he planted local churches. That was Paul's ministry. He didn't just go out and win people to the Lord. He planted a local church so that what he did, he left something behind that God would perpetuate. And I think that when you leave something behind like that and God perpetuates it, you also have a responsibility towards it. And Paul didn't simply go and plant the church and move on and forget about it. He would return to these churches and try to encourage them in the Lord. He wrote letters to these churches, only a few of which are part of the Bible. You know, every time Paul wrote something, it wasn't scripture. Paul wrote a laundry list, you know, it wasn't inspired. But those books of his, God used him to write some books which would be part of our Bible. But Paul often wrote to churches and communicated with them to encourage them. But one of the things that was in all of his letters, every last letter Paul wrote to a church, was that he was grateful for them. Even a church like Corinth, even a church that was as despicable and as discouraging as Corinth, Paul was grateful for. And I think that if there's one thing I'd like you to leave here with today, it's that you have good reason for being thankful for this church, personally. You have good reason for it, biblical reason. And I want, as we look at this passage, we're going to pray and look at this passage, I want you to see just how simply Paul lays that out. Let's begin with prayer, shall we? Oh, Father, your word is such a blessing, and you are so good. And I just ask today that the things that you've shown me so plainly about gratitude and the thankfulness that you've given to me for this church might be communicated to every person who's here today, and that we would be grateful for this church, not out of some temporary emotion, but a deep-seated recognition of what's right and what you have for us. It's because of you that we do everything here. In Jesus' name we ask this, God. Amen. when Paul begins, I love the words that are used here. He says, we are bound to thank God for you. If you have a more modern translation, they'll use our more common word, we ought to thank God for you. And I'm going to keep it real simple today because I have a Sudafed brain right now. And so it's not working on all cylinders. But the first point is, being grateful isn't some wonderful, absolutely achievable goal that Christians, oh, isn't it wonderful that he's so grateful? Oh, shouldn't we admire him for being grateful? It's something you just plain ought to do. It's something that ought to be characteristic of you. It's not something that you're supposed to strive for and achieve for, and once you reach it, you say, oh, that man is a real holy man. It's just something that really ought to be there. You are obligated is one of the words to be grateful. I don't have a choice. You go home, okay? You're getting out of your car, okay? You open the door and you close the door without taking your hand out of the door. You scream. Does everybody around you go, how did you scream like that? What a wonderful scream. Oh, boy, can you scream? Or do they say, he didn't really have much of a choice? You know, it's just torn out of you because the pressure and the pain, it wells up inside of you, and hopefully you only scream, you know, in a sanctified way. But you just scream, and because when something like that happens, you're bound to do it. It's natural. Well, that's what Thanksgiving is. When you honestly, I don't mean some kind of hokey, well, let's count our blessings and you make up. When you honestly look at your life, and you honestly, today I'm talking about gratitude for the church, you look at this church and you look at what God has given here, there ought to be something that just naturally comes. You say, I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful for that. You know, God has ways of constraining you, forcing you to be grateful when you're not. God has two ways of forcing you to be grateful. One of them is the positive side. He just loads you with so many blessings. He heaps them on you that you've got to stop. You can't take anymore. And you've got to express your gratitude. That's the method God's always used in my life. God has given me graduate PhD studies in gratitude. When I look at my family, when I look at the opportunities God has given to me, when I look at the friends that I have, and I recognize that that's not something that other people have universally. The kinds of people God has brought into my life, the experiences God has given to me in churches, I just praise God for that. And I'm overwhelmed. And I look at that and I say, God, how could you have put me in a church like this again? When we left Laurel to come up here, our thoughts were, we'll go to school and there's enough churches in the area that we'll surely be able to find a church that will be pleasing to God. And I told my wife, I said, I just don't expect to find another church like Laurel. But we're going to find one that's pleasing to God and the kids enjoy. And then God put us in a church like this. A church that was everything we could have asked for. Everything we had before and more. And in our life, my wife and I are just so grateful for that. Because when we came, we just believed God would bless, but he just blessed us abundantly. And we're just constrained to do it. And God has that way of just piling things on and giving you more than you could have asked for. And you say, oh, God, I'm so grateful. And he does that for everybody, by the way. God hasn't blessed me more than he's blessed you. He's blessed me in a different way than he's blessed you. But if you're sitting there today and thinking, well, I don't know about me, you really get honest about your life and you see the things God has blessed you with. And you see the enormous number of them, and it ought to just rip Thanksgiving right out of you. But God has a second way that he binds you and forces you to be grateful. He takes things away. And if you want to be grateful for the smallest thing, you lose it. Ask Carl about losing the use of your right arm. I can only imagine the frustration to a worker to lose your right arm, you know, when somebody who wants to do things and get things and just having a right, you become grateful for the use of your right arm. Have the rest of you thought about that this week? Been grateful for the use of your right arm? Not until you lose it. And God sometimes takes things away. I don't think that's his only reason. to make you grateful for that and to say, Lord, I appreciate that so much. Why is it that that happens to us with people? It's not until they're removed from our life that we're grateful for them. Whether they move out of the area, I don't mean somebody just dies, but they move out of the area and we don't have them close by. Parents, isn't it true? You sometimes have such an appreciation for your kids after they leave home. You're grateful they left. But I mean, you know, after they leave, it is true. The relationship really improves because when you see them, you're grateful for them. Our oldest son is at college now. And when he's home, the house is in uproar, but we really miss him. And we're grateful to have him home. And God will do that to you. I don't mean he'll punish you. People have this idea that every time God takes something away, it's a punishment. You weren't grateful, so he took it away. No. Sometimes it's God's way of saying, I want you to appreciate this more. I want to bless you. That having it isn't enough. I want you to have the blessing of being grateful for it. When you are grateful for something, you enjoy it that much more. And sometimes God will remove things from your life, not as a punishment because you're some wicked person, but just you saying, I think you could appreciate that a little more. And I think you could enjoy that a little bit more if I took it away in some fashion. And that would cause you to have the blessing, not just the possession of it, but the blessing. And the same thing is true of the church. God wants you to appreciate it. Maybe you've been and had the experience. Churches change as years go by and people move from church to church. All you got to do is be in a church where things aren't working right, where there's not love and harmony and unity. And you sure appreciate it when you get to the place where there is one. And when you go to a church where there is one, people land in an area where they can't find a church to go to. They just can't find a church that doctrinally they can live with. Well, we believe you've got a responsibility to start one, that you're supposed to do what they did in the early church. It wasn't just Paul who started churches. Other people had churches in their homes. But you really become grateful for what you've lost. Notice what else he says. As it is meet. There's a 1611 word that's kind of hard for us to get our hold on. You know what it means by meet? That word means just plain fitted, suitable. Eve was a help meet. That doesn't mean a help meet the car payments, you know, a help meet the ends around the house. The word meet means suited. She was fitted to Adam. When God designed Eve, he designed it so that Adam and Eve would be absolutely, positively suitable for one another. Just what each other needed. It's suitable and fitting. And God says, I'll tell you something about Thanksgiving. It's fitting. It's suitable. It's pleasing. You know, when you see kids and they're growing up, sometimes when you watch those kids and you see them just enjoying themselves thoroughly, there's something just fitting and right about that. You see a little child who's too serious, who's too academic even, and you can rejoice in the fact that that child's a real brain. But if they're not happy and running around and goofing around sometime, you're saying, it's not quite right. Kids, it's just suitable for kids to have a good time and to enjoy life. There's something right about that. You know, when you see a young couple just starting out and they're so in love, they're acting goofy. No, there's something goofy about it, but it's also suitable. Do you want to see a young couple? Do you want to see your kids fall in love? And they're totally, absolutely able to divorce themselves from the emotions and to make all their decisions in a logical way? Isn't there something wrong about that? Shouldn't there be some time in their life when at least they're really caught up in it? That they're not only loving one another, they're in love. It should be that there are times in your life when there are emotions that are just suitable. Now, maybe they're not suitable for every other time, but they fit it. There's one emotion that is suitable to Christians all the time, and that's gratitude. God just loves to see it. God enjoys it so much because when you are grateful, you are enjoying what he gave you. Do you see that connection? Gratitude is when you are enjoying what God has given you. And when you lose gratitude is when you don't enjoy it anymore. And the gratitude is not simply, I think it's part of it, but it's not simply God saying, well, I gave it to you and I want some thanks back for it. We do that as parents sometimes, you know. How come they never say thank you? God isn't simply working on that level. He's saying, I don't see gratitude because you're not enjoying it. And I gave it to you so that you could enjoy it. We'll talk about that next week. God says, I want you to enjoy that. I want you to take pleasure in that. And your lack of gratitude shows me that you're really not enjoying that as I intended. Maybe you're taking pleasure in it in the wrong way, and therefore you're not thanking God. Maybe you just don't see the need for that, so you're not thanking God. But the reason that we give thanks to God and that God demands it is because it's proof that what he has given is being appreciated and enjoyed as he gave it. When it comes to a church, if you're not thanking God for the church, it simply means you're not appreciating it. You're not enjoying it. You're not experiencing what God intended for you to experience. And when you do thank God for it, it's so suitable. It's right. God says everything's come together. I helped out a little bit yesterday and wandering around. And it's interesting. All those, especially, it was interesting listening to all the ladies in the kitchen. You know, they get in there and they forget there's a man around and they talk like ladies. And we men never get to hear that. But it was kind of interesting. The food, they worked so hard to prepare all that food. And I kid you not, quantities of food were put away yesterday. And you know what? The ladies enjoyed it. All that work. They weren't thinking about, I got to do... what they liked was the fact that the eating of the food showed that people enjoyed it. And there was a pleasure they took in that. They were happy because, hey, if we had served up all that food and things had gone wrong and the men hadn't had an appetite, what a waste. They actually enjoyed the fact that the men enjoyed the food. God's that same way. It's just suitable when he sees you returning gratitude because you're recognizing God gave it to me. And I love it and I'm reveling in it. Do that with the church. Show God that you appreciate what he's given to you here. Just a couple things that Paul was grateful for here. Notice, I thank God because, okay, right here, I normally put a box around the word because with a little arrow pointing to the reasons that he has. Because, notice, your faith grows exceedingly. Paul loved growth. We have to be careful. Sometimes Americans love growth because numbers seem to prove everything to us, you know. On the other hand, God loves growth. Not just growth in numbers, but growth in people, and so did Paul. Paul loved growth. It's a sign that something is going on. You take a unique pleasure in it. And Paul says, I'll tell you why I'm grateful for you. Because your faith is growing. Let me start with the illustration of a parent, then come back to church again. As a parent, there's just something you're so grateful for to God when you see your kids pass a hurdle. When you see your kids grow into something and step into something, you're just so grateful to God because you're actually seeing them grow. You're grateful to God when the baby's born and you're able to hold on to it and to enjoy it. And then you're grateful to God when you see the child grow physically, and then he grows emotionally, and then, praise God, when he grows spiritually, you just want to stand up and cheer. You just want to say, Lord, I see the growth. And one of the reasons for that is because, again, it's God who did it, not you. You're grateful because you realize, I didn't do this, somebody else had to do it. Nobody is grateful for what they did themselves. Nobody is. You know, you wash the dishes and you're not grateful to anybody that the dishes got washed. You know, they were done. And there's a lot of self-made men running around who aren't grateful to God because they got the idea that they did everything themselves. Well, the key to gratitude is recognizing somebody else did it. And the reason why Paul was grateful for their faith is it was proof that God was at work. I didn't just do it. God did it. And sometimes gratitude, you're just overwhelmed to say, I didn't have anything to do with this. I didn't even touch this. When I see people growing in the church, when I see people stepping out, let me embarrass a few of you today. The people recently who've come forward and said, you know, I want to be a member of this church. To me, that's a step of growth. It's somebody saying, I'm not just interested in attending and learning. I'm not just interested in being part of the church family. I want to be identified. I want to grow in a different way now and work in a different way. As a pastor, you don't know how grateful I am for every one of you. That's the kind of thing that just you recognize and you say, I didn't do that. God did it. And you come home and you just rejoice. When I meet with people, and the deacons, not just myself, we meet with people for membership, and you hear their testimonies, you come home rejoicing. You're saying, look at the growth in their life. Look at what God's done. Because they rehearse and say, well, I went through this, and look at what God did. And the joy that's there is incredible. When you see people growing in faith, and you see people doing things that are hard, if people do things that the outside world can do, where's the credit? Jesus said that. He said, when you show love, and if you lend money to somebody and just give them time to pay it back, he says, where's the credit? Unbelievers do that. But when you lend money to somebody and never expect to get it back, when somebody takes something from you, like the shirt off your back, and you give them your coat as well, he said, that's proof that God's at work. That's supernatural. And when I look in people's life and I see that they're growing in this church, I recognize that God called me here because it's not my ministry that's doing it, it's God, and that God's at work. And I walk around the church when I pray, just walk around it and walk around it. And when you walk around it, you can see the people sitting there when you pray for them. That might sound a little hokey to you, but you pray for people and you pray for them, and then when you can see and say, that one had something right in front of them, some pressure, some tribulation, a sin, something hindering them. And look at how they stepped over that. You're just so grateful. And you say, Lord, you're at work here. I don't want a church where there's good preaching. I don't have a whole lot to do about that. I have to show up where I show up, you know, to preach. I'm not looking for a church that has great finances or great numbers. I'm looking for a church where the people want to grow. That's what I want. There's some life there where people want to grow with the Lord. They're not content just to come and do. They want to grow and they want to expand. And Paul said, I am so grateful that your faith groweth exceedingly, that I can see you growing by leaps and bounds. And he says, the love, the charity, that means love, of every one of you, all towards each other abounds. When you see people showing love to one another, that is just an enormous source of gratitude. You ought to be grateful for that in the church. When you see people showing kindness, not just to you, but to other people, when you see, as a pastor, when you see people treating other people kindly, going out of their way. A couple of examples. Somebody this morning went out of their way before they came to church to get me some medicine. Just did that. That's the kind of thing that you're saying, God's at work here. Look at the kind of love. That's a simple thing, but it was an unnecessary thing. And when people do that, when people show love and they give offerings and they help, the prayers that went up for the bells, I see that and I say, nobody prayed because of a sense of duty. There was a genuine love there. And you see that kind of thing when a pastor sees people of the church forgiving one another. I'm bringing this up. I think that that is a key to love in the church. When you see people who have been genuinely hurt, real hurts done, and yet people forgive each other and say, I love you. You do things that are wrong, I do things that are wrong, but I forgive you because I love you. That's what a pastor looks for. When a pastor sees people sacrificing their time to get things done at the church, maybe you don't see a lot of it, but I do. I see the people who come here and spend their time. I see the time that Charlie's here practicing on the organ. Not that he ever needs to. You know, I don't know how anybody can do that. But I see him here early, and I see Charlie coming in and asking me, what are you preaching on today, so that I can pick out an offertory that's fitted to what you're going to preach on. You see people giving up their time. You see people who are sacrificing things. And you're thinking, that's a work of God, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful because I know that what I have here in this church is the result of a lot of years of other people's work. almost 200 years of other people's work went into the fact that I got a pulpit to preach in today. This church has been through up and down times all through its history, but it wouldn't be here if there weren't people who stuck with it during the down times. I'm inheriting a lot of things, and I'm grateful for that. And notice what Paul says here. Verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God. That word glory has a meaning that comes out in some of the newer translations, was present there in the King James day, but in modern English, we've lost it. You know what it means? He says, I brag about you. I boast about you. When you're grateful for something, you boast about it. How many of you grandmothers do not have pictures of your grandchildren in your purse? You know, want to see my grandkids? It doesn't matter. They can have one grandkids, but they still got 20 pictures of the one, you know. You want to tell people about it. When you're grateful, and if you are grateful, you will tell people about it. That's got to be the same with this church. If you're really grateful for the church, not something hokey, oh, well, I guess I ought to feel grateful. If you genuinely say, these things are true, you tell people about it. I think when you're grateful for something, you say something to somebody. You thank people. When you're grateful, it comes out. That's a biblical principle. What you feel in your heart comes out the mouth. Jesus said, out of the abundance, the fullness of what's inside of you, the mouth speaks. When you hear a mouth coming out with bitterness, it's because there's a lot of bitterness inside. When you hear a mouth that doesn't speak something, it's because there's not much of it inside. When you don't hear somebody being grateful from their lips, it doesn't mean there's no gratitude. It means there's not enough to bubble over. There's not enough to cause it to come out of the mouth. You ought to be saying thanks to people. Not just to God, but to other people. The gratitude that you feel ought to be coming out your mouth. I think that there's a problem sometimes. A church can get all the way through verse 3. They recognize and they're compelled to be grateful and they feel the gratitude. It's so suitable and they're so happy. They see the growth in people. They see the love that others have. But it never comes out the mouth. And so nobody else gets it. Gratitude is just like bitterness. It spreads to other people. It's infectious. And when you're grateful for things, it makes other people grateful for things. And it grows. Bitterness is the same way. When people are bitter about things, ungratitude is what bitterness is, it grows and it spreads to other people. And God has designed it so that what's in your heart should come out your lips. That's what we need. That's what I need. And God has taught me so much. And like I say, he just pulled up a dump truck and buried me in blessings. I am just overwhelmed. And that is something, the first thing that comes to my lips when I pray is thanksgiving. And that ought to be true of all of us because God's given us something wonderful in this church. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you so much. That there are not words that show the sincerity of what you've done for me. And I just pray that in some way that what you've put inside of me comes out. I pray that's true for every one of us. May we be a church that pleases you because you look down and see how much we enjoy what you've given to us. We revel. We delight in it. Oh, Father, make us care for one another enough to show our thanksgiving. And bless us today. It's raining. It's gray. But it's bright inside. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.